My God, in your presence, for to worship you. We beg, my God, through Jesus the Christ, your help, so that in our minds, our thoughts, our words, our motive, our very receptiveness will, my God, be in keeping with your dictates, the directive of your words, and in keeping, my God, with your holy nature. Guide us to worship you the way you are to be worshipped. And help us, my God, that day by day we will grow to where we will gladly and willingly want to commit and dedicate times in the week for worship, knowing, my God, that the times that we have belong to you. You have given us, my God, so much of it to do our business. Help us, my God, not to covet or to rob you of the few hours that are put aside each week to honor you. As we worship, guide us, I beg. We are about to study your word. My God, we need understanding of your will, of your word. We beg through Christ that you will give us the understanding. As I direct this study this morning, I beg, my God, for your help so that the things that I will say relative to the subject under consideration, they will all be in keeping with your revealed will for us. I beg, my God, through Jesus Christ for physical and spiritual strength. I beg through him for your forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, I beg for understanding of your will so that as we deal with the subject under consideration in all things, I will represent you and your word correctly. Guide me to speak as your oracle, my God, and guide your word so that each one of us will gain better understanding of the subject to be looked at. And by understanding, my God, we will apply to ourselves and seek opportunity to apply the truth to others. Guide us. May you, my God, through Jesus Christ, be honored through this lesson. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The Holy Spirit we looked last week on the fact that there are three manifestations or measures of the Holy Spirit. There are three manifestations or three measures of the Holy Spirit. The baptismal measure experienced only by the apostles of Christ and the house of Cornelius. No one else. The miraculous measure given by the laying on of the apostles' hand. No one else could lay hand on someone and pass on the miraculous gift to that person. Only the apostles of Christ. And the other measure, the indwelling measure, referred to sometime as the ordinary measure. Why ordinary? Because when we get the ordinary measure, we are not able to perform miracle. That measure is given to all true children of God. Every Christian, if you were taught properly, if you became a Christian according to the gospel, the very time you were baptized or cleansed, immediately the Holy Spirit was given to you as a gift. But Brother Mitchell, how didn't tremble and throw myself on the dirt and... Well, you're not supposed to do that. Anybody give you the idea that the Holy Spirit is an emotional being, that person was deceiving you. In fact, while I'd planned to deal with this aspect of the lesson further, since I'm on it, let me just sort of look at that. Falsehood is easy to spread. That's right. Any way you take it, falsehood. I don't know why it is so easy to spread. Now, somewhere along the way, some of our ethnic heritage, our racial heritage from Africa, like Kumina, and all this, somewhere along the way, long before you and I came along, it was engrafted in our religion. And we get the idea that the Holy Spirit is a being or a force that when He inhabits you, you get emotional and you cannot control yourself and you do things which you have no control over. That's a lie. Please dispel that. And anywhere you go and you see people claim that they are in the Spirit and they are moving about like when you cut off foul head, they cannot control themselves. They pine away and 2-3 people have to hold them. Anywhere you go and see that, never associate the Holy Spirit with that behavior. Because if the Bible is true, and it is true, the Holy Spirit is a totally different personality. When all through the Bible, all through the New Testament, the Gospel, we are told of temperance, or that we should be temperate. The word simply means be in control of yourself. You all get it? That's all through the Bible, you know. Or rather, all through the gospel. Temperance are to be a characteristic of the child of God because it is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. The word temperance simply means be in control. Now, the Holy Spirit could never be teaching men and women that they should be temperate when he himself will lick you down on the ground and make you walk on the bench, make you pine away and you don't know. You knock your brother and sister in their face and you didn't know what you are doing. That doesn't make sense. Never did, never will be. All through the gospel, wherever the Holy Spirit works, you see that the Holy Spirit is a rational being. The Holy Spirit is an intelligent being. The Holy Spirit is a temperate being. All through the Bible. Now, let us look at a few passages and see. First, let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 28. Let us start at 27 through 29.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by horse. And let
Wait. I wonder if you are listening when the Bible speaks, and if you see what I see here. May I? The brother is reading from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And did I say 27? The brother starts at 27. Look here now, no. Watch this. I see that and I don't think I put that there. That is, notice the rationality. Notice the order. Notice the intelligence. Huh? Watch here now. Read.
If any man speak.
If you have the gift where you can speak
in
other languages in an unknown tongue. That's what the Bible calls a known tongue, you know. It doesn't mean the tongue was never spoken on earth. It means you were not taught that language, but you were given the ability to speak it miraculously. You understand? A brother of the Church of Christ, a church leader, met one of these people who claim that they speak in tongue at their church. And the brother reel off a few sentences in Spanish. And then he wrote what he spoke in Spanish and gave it to the lady and said to her, "Can you read this?" She said, "No, sir, not at all. At our church, we speak it, but we cannot write it." The brother said, "Lady, what I spoke and wrote, it's nothing but all the same old Spanish which you hear every day." And he said, "I was speaking to you in tongues. And all that means is that you were not taught it, so you don't know it. But I was speaking to you in tongue. Tongue is not an heavenly language. When the Bible speaks about tongue, it's language that men and women use on earth. And known is used because you were not taught that tongue or grew up in the environment where it was spoken." So notice now the order. Notice the intelligent, directive, of the Holy Spirit in respect to spiritual gift. If anyone speak in
an unknown tongue,
uh-huh,
let it be by two.
Wait, brother. You notice that the people who had the gift had control? Wait, you notice that they can determine whether it's 2 or 100? Huh? No, that's not what we get at these churches today, you know. When whatever take them, it can be 100 or 1,000, they do not have any control. That's what they claim. But that's not the Holy Spirit. Let it be by
two, or at the most by three.
At the most three. Now, all of this is telling me, I don't know what it's telling me. It's telling me that they have control even over the amount of people who engage in exercising that gift. You see? Read on.
And that by course.
Wait. Y'all understand that? By course. The Holy Spirit does not get in one and that person just do what he or she wants at the time he or she wants. Let it be by course mean you exercise your gift, the message the Holy Spirit gives you, you sit down, and the other one does his thing and sit down. You all get it? Remember, I didn't write that. The Holy Spirit write that through the pen of Paul. Let it be by
course, and let one interpret.
Oh my God. Isn't this intelligent? Isn't this order? Let one do the interpretation. Read on.
But if there be no interpreter,
I wonder if you are still with me, I see. If there be no interpreter,
let him keep silence in the church.
Wait. That is a bombshell. Watch here now. When you have the gift given by the Holy Spirit, before you exercise that gift, and the implication there is that you have control to determine that you are going to exercise that gift or use it, or you are not going to. It's not the Holy Spirit that throws something over you and you have no control. So it says, what you need to do before you exercise that gift, and because you are in control, you must ascertain if there is anybody in the audience who have the gift of interpretation. You all get it? Somebody didn't get that little part, brother. You better read it again.
But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence.
Wait. It did not say, if there is no interpreter, somebody must run and hold his mouth. Huh? Or somebody must run and pull him out of the audience. It says, let him keep silent. You get the idea? The person has the ability to determine whether to speak or not to speak. Everybody gets it. The idea, people, these denomination giving you there that when whatever take them, they have no control. Some spirit is doing that to them, but it is not God's Holy Spirit. In a little while, I'll be showing you which spirit does it. Let him keep silent, not let somebody silence him. Huh? What verse is that?
Verse 28. And let him speak to himself and to God.
That's right. Let me hear Article 29.
Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge.
Everybody get that? It has already told you the course that they must follow. That is orderly, one at a time. Here now, it tell you two or three. It doesn't mean the two or three speak one time. It has already laid down the order. And then it says, let the other judge. You know what that means? The others must sit and listen to make sure that what they are saying is the truth. That's right. That's right. And you get it? When I am here teaching and preaching, you must judge. In other words, you must always be concerned that what I'm preaching is the truth from God's word. That's right. That's right. But some, they have no control. The Holy Spirit, you hear them go on with all them development, and it's really development. And I blame it on what spirit? Not God's Holy Spirit. Now, let us look at Mark chapter 9, verse 17 through 18. Acts 16. Hope. We are still on behavior. How does God's Holy Spirit behave or causes, how does He cause men and women to behave when He inhabits their lives? Let us hear it.
And he asked the scribe, what question he with them?
Is that chapter 9, Mark 17 through 18?
17. And one of the multitude answered and said,
and one of the persons that was a part of the multitude answered and said,
Master,
speaking to Jesus Christ, I have
brought unto thee my son.
Uh-huh.
Which hath a dumb spirit.
What type of spirit?
A dumb spirit.
Everybody understand that? Brother Mitchell, I didn't know there is a spirit like that. Yes. And all that it means is influence from Satan caused that boy or child not to be able to talk. Huh? The child was mute. Huh? Couldn't talk. But it was a work of Satan. Read on.
Which hath a dumb spirit.
Uh-huh.
And wheresoever he taketh him.
Wheresoever the spirit or satanic influence take the child, the boy.
He teareth him.
He teareth him.
And he foameth.
Now, are you listening? Some of the manifestation of the demonic spirit here, it makes this young boy, it was a boy, no?
Yes.
Young boy foam out of his mouth.
And gnash it with his teeth.
And grind his teeth.
And pine it away.
Does what?
And pine it away.
But these are the same behavior we see in some of these churches that are blaming the Holy Spirit. Huh? In so many of these so-called Holy Spirit-filled church, people pine away. When I was growing up, so many times, and we as a young boy, 8, 9, 10, when they go on with the excitement, we go and we look through the hole and you see sometimes a sister or a brother pine away, and sometimes it takes 3-4 persons to hold that person down. And we said the person was in the spirit. Yes, they were in a spirit probably, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Because you see the spirit here that make people pine away. Pine away just means you act like you are fainting. The very behavior we see in so-called Holy Spirit-filled church today. foam out of their mouth. Same behavior. But you notice it is demonic spirit that causes men and women to pine away.
And I speak to thy disciples, and they should cast them out, and they could not.
This is a spirit that needs to be cast out. That's right. This is a spirit that has no part in your life. What he does, make you foam out of your mouth, make you gnash or grind your teeth, as we said, and make you pine away, act like you are fainting, if you notice it is not the Holy Spirit. Need to be cast out. Jesus Christ is going to cast him out. In fact, is this the Padre sending to swine?
No.
Oh, okay. But he was cast out. The young man was healed by Jesus Christ. So men and women who possess this type of spirit that make you pine away, make you grind or gnash your teeth, make you foam, it's never the Holy Spirit, but the demonic spirit. Now, may we look at the fact that, the Holy Spirit is never out of order.
Amen.
What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? The Holy Spirit never does anything out of order. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is for order. That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 40, let everything be done how? Decently and in order. What does the word order mean, Brother Mitchell? It means everything must be in its right place. Listen now. Acts of the Apostles, we start at verse chapter 16 and verse 16. Chapter 16 and verse 16. Acts of the Apostles.
And it came to pass. As we went to prayer. A certain young woman.
Possessed with what type of spirit?
A divination.
A spirit of divination. That's a demonic spirit. Are we there? It's not the Holy Spirit. A demonic spirit. That is a spirit that is controlled by Satan, possessed this young woman. Let us hear a little more.
Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying.
Everybody understand that? Everybody understand that? We are reading from the book of Acts. Chapter 16, and we start at verse 16 following. I have to be careful how I write with this. I remember not to press on it, or else I push it right in a few seconds. Yes, Acts 16:16. That's where we start with this passage. Now, wait, you see, I want to make sure you get it. It is a spirit. What is going on here in this young woman? It had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. We all got it? We all didn't get it. It is a spirit of divination. Meaning, Brother Mitchell, it is a satanic spirit. It is a spirit that is under the control of Satan. And the servant of Satan. That is the young lady master. The young lady was a slave. You get it? The young woman was a slave. The Bible refers to her as a damsel. When I was growing up, when I first read that, I thought it was a tree. because we have a tree that we call damsel. But this is not a tree. This is a young woman. And her master, having discovered that she had this demonic spirit in her, he said, you know what? I can make a lot of money with her. And he was using her for obvious reason. You all get it? That's what the Bible means by soothsaying. Witchcraft. Huh? Read on.
And the same followed Paul.
The same young woman followed Paul and his company.
And cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God.
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you need to have the tool whereby you can know the truth from that which is false. You know why? What this woman, young lady, was saying, it was all fact. It was all truth. In fact, all true, she was saying. We are still here. All true. Read on.
These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation.
Huh? One, they were servants of. Two, they show unto us the way of salvation. Perfect truth. You cannot add or take away anything from that. So, Brother Mitchell, what's wrong with that? Read on.
And this did she many days.
She continued as Paul and his company went around in the community and preached. She was right there with them crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God. And they have come to tell us the way of God. Well, you have that type of help in your preaching. You'd be glad. But watch here, read on.
But Paul, being grieved.
Paul had the Holy Spirit in him. Paul was inspired. Now, did it say grieved, brother?
Being grieved.
Did it say grieved?
Grieved.
Well, something is wrong with Paul. Here is a young woman following you, telling the truth in respect to who they were and what they were doing. What she said about who they were and what they were doing, it was all truthful. And Paul get grieved over that. Brother Paul, how you are so sharp-fused. How you so easy to get upset. The man had a right to get upset. Watch here. Read a little further.
Being grieved, turned and said to the spirit.
Now, he's not even going to address the young lady, but the demonic spirit that was causing her to so speak. Read.
I command thee. In the name of Jesus Christ.
On the authority and power of Christ.
To come out of her.
Get out of her. Wait, this is the second time we notice that spirit like this must not remain in your life. But Brother Mitchell, up till now I cannot see what wrong she was doing. They were in fact servants of Most High God. They were in fact showing unto the people the way of God. What were they doing that Paul realized they need healing? All that she was doing was out of place. it creates this order. Everybody gets it? Everybody gets it? Oh, Paul knew that the Holy Spirit never acts out of place. The Holy Spirit never acts disorderly. He recognized that it was a demonic spirit in her and not the Holy Spirit. Everybody gets it? I wonder if we should continue more on that, because there's so much to cover in this. So, well, she was healed. She was healed. The demonic spirit. But Brother Mitchell, I cannot understand how the devil, the spirit that the devil control, were saying these truthful things. That's how deceptive Satan is. That's how disguising Satan can be. And this is all the more reason why we need the truth from God's word to guide our lives. In today's world, where so many church people do not know or understand God's Holy Spirit, you know what they would say? Leave the woman alone. You don't see the Holy Spirit in her. You don't see that she's filled with the Spirit. That's exactly what they would say. That she's filled with the Spirit. What spirit she's filled with, only God knows. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not true. We are just getting started. We are not true. We are just getting started. Sorry. Now, let us look at some more things here. There's so much. In fact, let me look at another aspect of the lesson. We are going to spend a little time looking on the apostles. Are we there? The apostles. There. Remember what we have just looked at, the fact that the Holy Spirit never cause anyone to behave in an uncontrollable way, in a disorderly way, in an emotional way. When you are inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God, a part of what the Holy Spirit gives to you is temperance or self-control. That's always. The Holy Spirit doesn't throw anybody on the ground. The Holy Spirit never makes anybody pine away. The Holy Spirit never makes any man or woman act where it takes two or three persons to hold them and keep them under control. Never. Now, apostle, in the various denominations, out of ignorance of the scripture, almost every church leader today is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no apostle of Jesus Christ today. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. I'm going to give you, I cannot exhaust them today because there are some 10, 11, or 12 things I'm going to give you that were peculiar to the apostles of Christ. No other human being possessed these qualities or could do them. Not two, not three, not four. Some 10 to 12 things about the apostles that were peculiar to them. But let me start by pointing this out. And get this. What did I say a while ago, that there are no apostles of Jesus Christ today? Notice this now. I've just pointed out in the ignorant, in the misled, in the misguided denominational world, churches that don't understand and respect the Bible. Almost every church leader is an apostle of Christ. Now let us lay down something here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13 and 15. Let us lay that down first. Let us hear it.
For such are false apostles.
Such are what?
False apostles.
Such are what?
False apostles.
Somebody not listening, that there are in fact false apostles. You see, and here the Holy Spirit in the inspired apostle Paul is warning Christians. Such people are false apostles. Read.
Deceitful workers.
They are deceitful workers.
Transforming themselves into the apostles of
Christ.
They
are trying to resemble the apostles of Christ. You all get that when it says transform? That means they are trying to resemble the apostles of Christ. But you see, those of us who know the truth, know try as they may, they cannot pass the test. Because we know who a true apostle is. Read on.
And no marvel.
Paul says, Christian, who know the truth? Why that knock you out? Why these false apostles knock you out, almost get you? Paul said, you shouldn't be taken in by. Why? Listening.
For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Everybody get that? Everybody get that? You don't understand? Even Satan tried to resemble God through angel. So it is no big thing when his apostles are his agent or his servants tries to resemble the true servants of Christ.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness.
His what? His minister? Satan have minister too. Where do they preach? Do they preach at a church that says, this is Satan church? You know Satan is him. Satan is wiser than that. So if you're looking for a church that says, this is Satan church, you'll never find that one. That's right. And Satan minister are preaching at Satan church. So you be careful at the church you go. That's right. Now, may I, brothers and sisters, learn these truths. Not what I've just said, you know. I'm about to say some other things now. Learn these truths about the authentic apostles of Christ. I'm about to point out something. Brother Mitchell, say that again. Learn these truths about the authentic, the genuine apostles of Jesus Christ. One. The needs which was characteristic of the beginning of the gospel. Start that again, Brother Mitchell. The needs that was unique to the gospel when the gospel began. The apostles of Jesus Christ Word specifically. What did I say, brothers? You weren't listening. Word specifically. Promise the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of the need that was associated with the new gospel of Jesus Christ that was going to come into effect during that time. Because of the needs that the gospel going to call for or create, these men chosen by Jesus Christ going to need special powers. Are we there? Therefore, Jesus Christ promised them the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. One, well, let me continue. The promise of the Holy Spirit baptism to the apostles of Christ only was to endow them with the special power they need so that they might be infallible. What did I say? What word? Infallible in carrying out the duty that heaven going to give them. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? They could not make any mistake in carrying out particular duty that God want them to carry out in respect to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we there? May I? Let us look at Acts 1, 4 through 5. Acts 1, 4 through 5. Acts 1.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
That's what, verse 1 through?
That's 1, 4, and 5.
I said 1 through 4.
Oh. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up. After that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen.
That's right.
To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them.
Not notice this. All along what you're finding here, the emphasis here is on the apostles of Christ.
Yeah.
And you're going to learn much more about these specific men. Read.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem.
All of this, staying at Jerusalem, refer not to you and me, only the apostles of Christ. Read.
But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me.
Wait for what promise? It is the promise that comes from the Father, and this was the promise to empower them through the Holy Spirit. That does not concern every Christian.
Amen.
Only the apostles. So notice this. One, the Holy Spirit would speak through the apostles, not indirectly. The Holy Spirit speak through me because I speak the words that the Holy Spirit left. But that's not the way the Holy Spirit would speak to them. The Holy Spirit would in fact tell them what to preach. Look at Mark chapter 13:11. Read. Mark 13:11.
But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand.
May I? Brothers and sisters, the brother is not true. This is not talking about gospel preacher today. If I'm arrested for preaching the gospel, and if there is a good lawyer around, God wants me to get him. Truly, if I can do some preparation in going before the judge, God wants me to do that. With the apostles, no. They didn't have to. Listen to the passage.
But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate.
Everybody getting it? That's not for us. That's specifically related to the apostle in their work. Don't consider what you will say before the judge. When you go before the judge, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you exactly what to say.
But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, speak ye.
Y'all get it? That promise is not for us. The Holy Spirit would speak directly to and through them.
For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost.
Everybody gets it? So one, the Holy Spirit would speak through the apostle. That's one. That is peculiar only to the apostles of Christ. Two, the Holy Spirit would teach and give them that which Jesus Christ personally taught them. Did you all hear me? That's not for me. Jesus Christ never personally teach me. Never. Has he taught me? Yes, but indirectly through the gospel. Did he teach the apostle? Yes, directly in person. Christ taught them. So listen to the passage again. What are you saying here? The Holy Spirit would teach and give the apostle that which Jesus Christ had taught them personally. Let us hear it in John 14:26. John 14:26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
That is not me. Jesus Christ did not personally, underline the word personally, teach me something that need to be brought back to my memory. No. Christ personally taught the apostle. There is no man or woman today whom Jesus Christ had taught personally. None. None. But the Holy Spirit would bring back to the apostle what Christ taught them personally. Three. In fact, we can go probably just one more and we have to close. The Holy Spirit would guide them, notice this, into all truth. What does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? All the spiritual, moral, religious truth that man needs to guide his life would be given to the apostle so that the apostle could put it in the New Testament. Look at the book of John, same St. John 16, verse 13.
Howbeit, When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak.
We are wrapping up. All the three or four things I've just said are peculiar only to the apostles of Jesus Christ. These things are not said in reference to any preacher today, any elder, any deacon, any faithful brother or sister. Only to the apostles of Jesus Christ. They are the one that the Holy Spirit would reveal all truth to. That's right. And the last point in today's lesson, in fact, I'm going to only mention it. But I cannot, our time does not permit me to deal with it. In fact, I may just drop here. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are some 8 to 9 more points peculiar to the apostle that we'll have to undertake another time. The one I just want to mention today as I close. The apostles were eye and ear witnesses of Jesus' one personal ministry, Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus' ascension. We'll have to pick up on this next week Sunday. Let me repeat. The apostles were eyewitnesses and ear witnesses. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Are three things. One, Jesus' personal, P-R-S-O-N-A, personal ministry. Two, Jesus' resurrection. Three, and Jesus' A-S-E-N, ascension. The apostles. A true apostle of Jesus Christ has to be an eyewitness and an ear witness of these three facts. We want to pick up on this next Sunday. Now, these are peculiar only to the apostles of Jesus Christ. No man in the world today is an eyewitness and an ear witness of Jesus' personal ministry. They have been around with Christ when he went around preaching and doing miracles. No man around today witnessed Jesus Christ after he was risen. No man around saw Jesus ascended to heaven. None. Therefore, they cannot be an apostle of Christ. But we'll pick up on this and some 9 more points next week. And next week, we will deal further with the laying on of hands to pass on miraculous gifts. We are asking members of the Lord's Church not to miss these lessons and to put out effort to bring someone with you to learn. If you're here today and if you're not a child of God, if you have never been a member of the Church of Christ, the only church you can read of in the Gospel, the Almighty God has brought you here today for you to learn truth and become a part of His church. God, through Christ, is waiting, and we are here to help you.